All you have to do is hear that and know that we are talking about the Muppets this hour of the program. There's a new film. I had the great pleasure of seeing the new Muppets movie just a couple days ago and found it just a lovely, lovely film. The New York Times review it describes it as endearing, silly, smiley-faced movie. Some old, adorable Muppets as sweetly innocent and likable as ever. And it's been a number of years since we've seen them. This hour of the program, we're going to be talking about why they're back, what that speaks to. We'll hear some great clips of Muppet shows, talk about Jim Henson, the creation of these puppets, and why we love them and what they say to us about all the big questions of life. People being people, eternity, kindness, love, etc. Greg Shemin is our guest. Craig is a freelance writer, producer, formerly on staff with Jim Henson Company, creators of The Muppets. He created and wrote the Disney Channel's Lou and Lou Safety Patrol. He has produced and directed an award-winning behind-the-scenes documentary about Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, produced a documentary that can be seen in the Smithsonian Institution Touring Museum Expedition, Jim Henson's Fantastic World. We'll put that up on our Facebook page sometime today, too, because it's really delightful. He wrote Dick Cavett Ruined My Life, winner of the Writers Network screenwriting competition, and is now working with studios on a new animated feature film, a play about the early years of television. His credits just go all very, very lengthy, all over. And he had a 14-year tenure at the Jim Henson Company, was a writer on all 26 episodes of Telling Stories with Tommy DePaola, and writer and consultant for the first season of the World of Dr. Seuss. So he's a great person to have with us and to celebrate the Muppets. And Craig, thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. I'm surprised you have time left for the show after going through my resume like that.
I only did half of it, too.
Well, I'm also proud to be president of the Jim Henson Legacy, which is an organization that Jane Henson founded to continue Jim's work and make sure that the world has an awareness that all of this that we love was created by this wonderful man.
And what is that a group responsible in some way for the new movie, for making sure that the Muppets are not forgotten?
Well, Disney really did that movie entirely. We were happy to be, itsy part of it. We heard about it while it was going on, and our organization certainly supports the work that Disney does. But we really can't take any credit for that.
Mm-hmm. It was so lovely to see them again, wasn't it? And to see this new Muppet, Walter, who's quite endearing and I'm sure will live on in some way.
Oh, yes. I think he's going to be part of the group now. And I think that the people who made the movie created that character to sort of serve in the as a proxy for the audience. That we were living the movie through his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Did you like the movie?
You know, I thought there was a lot of really wonderful stuff in it. I really did. And it's terrific that the characters are coming back to the public in this very big way. The movie was made by people who really love the characters, and you can tell.
Mm-hmm. And you must have loved the characters as well. It's interesting to have worked on this for so long, for you to have really a relationship with the Muppets, sort of not quite like people, but in a way they are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I came to it as a fan. You know, I was, I grew up watching The Muppet Show and certainly Sesame Street before that. And when I came into The Muppets, I was kind of like Walter. I was that wide-eyed fan, and then just to be able to get to work with Jim a little bit before he passed away, and then to work with Frank Oz and Dave Bowles and Jerry Nelson and create material that these characters that I love get to perform. It was just thrilling, and I still get excited about it. I did a Muppet cooking show a couple of years ago called Muppet's Kitchen with Kat Cora, which is, I think, still online somewhere. It was an internet show. And this was, you know, roughly 20 years after I started working with the Muppets, and I was still getting excited when Gonzo and Miss Piggy and Kermit were doing my dialogue.
Is that the In the Kitchen with Miss Piggy show you're talking about?
Oh, no, In the Kitchen.
That's another one.
Piggy, that was a book that I was proud to help Miss Piggy prepare. this was an internet cooking show that we did with Kat Cora, one of the Iron Chefs. And that's out there on the internet. I think if you go to MuppetsKitchen.com, you can find that.
What are the recipes like?
Well, the recipes are pretty serious. Kat Cora handled the recipes, and the Muppets handled the funny.
They are serious recipes.
Yeah, I think anything the Muppets prepare would not really come out that tasty.
Right. Well, except
the Swedish chef always has a lot of trouble in the kitchen.
But Miss Piggy likes to eat.
Oh, yes. Cooking, on the other hand, that she stays away from. But eating, she
I'm with her 100%. I'm with her. I like that. I love the relationship. It's hard not to just love Kermit. And in the film, I love the reunion between them and walking down the streets of Paris together and Kermit's outfit and her outfit. But that was... that was kind of a special thing. Can you tell me when it was decided that they were going to kind of be the loves of each other?
It was sort of an accident.
Was it?
You know, that happened years before I got there, but the story is that when Miss Piggy started on The Muppet Show, she was just supposed to be a background pig in the chorus. She was not intended to be a major character. She was a puppet that had already existed from another TV special years before. And this characterization that became Miss Piggy just sort of evolved over time. In one of the early episodes, they were doing a Glee Club sketch, and it was just a one-time thing that Miss Piggy was just supposed to develop this affection for Kermit during the song. And it grew and grew, and it was supposed to, you know, there was one bit where she was supposed to have, you know, hit a character, and it turned into a karate chop just because they thought it would be funny. And these little things helped develop the character over time. And, you know, it came as a surprise to everyone, but she became the breakout star of The Muppet Show, but it was never intended to be a character.
Mm-hmm. And what about the character of Kermit? How was he created? He's obviously a very nuanced guy. He's a very caring fellow.
He's really the sort of the center, the every frog at the middle of it. But again, he's the longest running character of the Muppets.
Is he?
He goes back to Jim Henson's first local television show back in the 1950s, 1955, 56. Kermit appeared on a show called Sam and Friends in Washington, D.C. And this was a daily 5-minute show that was usually on twice a day, and it was a sophisticated show that would go into the news or into the Tonight Show, so it had a grown-up audience. And Kermit was, you know, he wasn't a frog yet. He was just a lizard, sort of an abstract character. And the voice that started, that was Jim Henson's voice then, and the voice really didn't change all that much through the years, you know, until there was a transition to his new performer, Steve Whitmire, because the characters really remain the same, and diehard Muppet fans can tell that, you know, the voice changed a little bit, but, you know, he really is the center of the Muppet universe, and they're all real characters, and when you write for them, you treat them as real characters, and you do get into these little arguments inside of your head. It's like, would Kermit say that? Would Miss Piggy say that?
And
the way that I try to think of all of the characters is that if you add up all of the Muppets, it equals one normal person. So each of them have this little these different sides of us.
One normal person, one highly interesting.
Yes, yes.
Person,
but you know, they each have you know, a facet of our personality, and I think that people who like specific characters, they sort of gravitate to those characters who they see in themselves.
Yes, how true. Let's listen to a little bit of Miss Piggy and Kermit. This is from the great Muppet Caper in 1981.
Miss Piggy? What? Your lawyer is here to see you.
Lawyer? I don't have a lawyer.
Ah, sure you do. Little green guy.
Kermit! Oh, no wonder he hasn't come back to see me. He had to finish law school. Oh, Kermit! Oh!
2 minutes, Peg.
Oh, Kermit! Oh, I've missed you so.
Please, my name is Rosenthal.
I'm your attorney. That's the only way they'd let me in here.
Oh, right. Oh, I've missed you so. Rosenthal, it's been eternity.
It's been 45 minutes.
Time goes slow in the cooler.
Well, I just want you to know that we're going to get you out of here, because we're going to catch those thieves red-handed.
What color are their hands now?
I don't think this is the time for that type of humor.
When you're in stir, you take the laughs when you can get them, Rosenthal.
It's a funny bit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How long, tell me about the range of the Muppets, the movies, the television shows, which were most successful, and how long a run, it's being resurrected, of course, but how long a run was it?
Well, the Muppet characters that are in the, you know, the Muppets started back in 1955, 56, and through a lot of those years, they tried different characters, and the group sort of built over the years. Rolf the dog
popped up
on the Jimmy Dean show in 1963 and then became part of the group. And the group that we all know as the classic Muppets that are in the new movie, that was solidified in 1976 with the premiere of The Muppet Show. And The Muppet Show ran for 5 seasons. And then during the run of The Muppet Show, they started doing the feature films as well. So there were originally the first 3 feature films that were done during Jim's lifetime. And then Brian Henson continued the characters on and directed Muppet Christmas Carol, Muppet Treasure Island, and then Muppets from Space came next. And there were several TV movies. And then this new theatrical film was the first one since Muppets from Space, but there were a couple of TV movies and specials in between, so it's been going on for quite some time.
And you mentioned Rolf the dog. I have read that, and I want you to talk more about some of the Muppets who were made for some commercial reasons, that he was made for a series of Purina Dog Chow commercials as well. Were there other Muppets who were created for commercial reasons?
Yeah, there were many. Jim did a lot of work in commercials in the 1950s and 60s as sort of a way to finance the other things that he wanted to do.
Right.
But most of the characters that were created for commercials were created exclusively for those commercials, so we don't really see them nowadays except in museum exhibits and stuff. There was a spray fabric treatment, something like a starch that was called Linnet, and for that, Jim created a character called Sir Linnet, who was a knight who was made out of this can of starch with iron feet, and he would go and fight all of the enemies of crisp clothing. And so a lot of these characters just sort of were only used for those commercials.
Mm-hmm.
There were characters called Scoop and Skip that appeared for Wilson's Meats and a few other companies. And one of Jim's really long-running commercial profit projects were characters that were originally created for a local coffee company in Washington, D.C. called Wilkins Coffee. And he had a character named Wilkins, who loved the coffee, and a character named Wontkins, who never wanted to try it. Bad things would always happen to Wontkins. He would get blown up, and he would get attacked. And because it was a local coffee company, Jim was able to use these same characters and do commercials for different local companies across the country.
Oh, interesting.
Sort of syndicating those for years and years. So.
We are going to welcome phone calls for you. We're talking about the Muppets this hour of the program. Our interest in this simultaneous with the release of the new Muppet films. It's been 12 years since Kermit the Frog and all of his friends appeared in theaters, and the new Muppets movie is out now, and it's doing very well. It's great to have the old gang back together, and there are so many interesting stories, and interesting stories we have yet to get to about what it was like to work with Jim Henson. Here's our number, 800-486-8655.
You can't lose. This could become a habit.
Opportunity knocks once. Let's reach out and grab it.
Yeah!
Together we'll nab it.
We'll hitchhike, bus, or yellow cabbit.
Cabbit?
Moving right along. Footloose and fancy free.
Getting there is half the fun. Come share it with me.
Moving right along.
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. We'll learn to share the load.
We don't need show on the road.
Hey, Fozzie, I want
you to turn left
if you come.
Hey. I tell you what it is. Big city. Live, work, huh? But not city open. Only peoples. Peoples is peoples. No, it's buildings. It's tomatoes, huh? It's peoples. It's dancing. It's music. It's potatoes. So, peoples is peoples. Okay?
Yeah. Thanks. That helped a lot.
Peoples is peoples.
Peoples is peoples.
What's it?
That was from the Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great, isn't it? Who did the voice on that? Do you know?
The character, the luncheonette owner, was Louis Zorich. And he was a real person in the movie.
Yeah, he was.
And then you heard Kermit was performed by Jim Henson, and that was a movie that was directed by Frank Oz.
Hmm. Craig Schumann is our guest, and he worked with the Muppets for years and years and years as vice president of the Jim Henson Legacy Project. We have callers. This is Chris from Oshkosh. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I was just thinking about Muppets Take Manhattan when I heard the show, because when my son was about two or three, we had the video cassette that we just about wore out, and he had that entire movie memorized line by line.
Oh.
Now we've got the $5 bin DVD version of it, and he just got married October 29th, and all day long all I could think of was the wedding scene from Muppets Take Manhattan, and I would kind of give him a line here and there, and he would just kind of relax and laugh a little bit about different things. And we've used those lines from that movie over the years, over and over again. It's just such a great movie.
It's funny that the movies have endured, and I remember watching them on VHS, and now there's a Blu-ray that's out of Muppets Take Manhattan, so the movie keeps going even though the technology changes.
Tell me about the wedding. I haven't seen the film.
Oh, it's a very special wedding. Miss Piggy and Kermit appear in it's a finale of the Broadway show they're doing. Called Manhattan Melodies. So at the end of that show, there is a wedding in the show, but at the last minute, Miss Piggy gets a real minister to perform the vows.
Oh.
So it ends with the big question, are they or are they not really what married?
Ah. So was any of the film or any of the lines incorporated in your son's wedding, Chris? Chris, are you there? Chris is gone. But he mentioned some of the lines. Isn't it true that there are just some life truisms that are in a lot of the Muppet films? I don't know if anybody's ever put together a book like that, but it would be worth reading.
There's a book that Cheryl Henson, Jim's daughter, put together called It's Not Easy Being Green.
Mm.
And in it, she sort of collects a lot of these wonderful quotes from Jim and from some of the movies and songs that are really nice life lessons.
Oh, that's an... Oh, I'll have to get a hold of that. That's nice.
It's a wonderful book. Makes a great Christmas gift.
I'm sure it does. And, of course, there aren't a whole lot of people, but there are some who had a very close working relationship with Jim Henson. Can you tell me how you started working with him and what the day-to-day was like with this genius?
Well, when I started as an intern. So I met Jim when I was an intern for the company at the company softball game.
Oh, my.
And he introduced himself to me. He was very, very, very nice, very down to earth. He was, curious about where I was coming from and what I wanted to do. And then I came back to work for the company the next year and re-encountered him. And at the time, I started out in the public relations department. So one of my jobs was sort of helping to write the quotes that Jim Henson was having for the newspaper. So I would, you know, sit down in his office and he would talk a little bit and I would just sort of write it down and tweak it for print. So I got to spend a little bit of time with him, but, it was just getting to the point where I felt comfortable being in a room with him when he passed away.
What a great loss that was, huh?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. And when he was trying to find out from you where you were coming from, I haven't heard that phrase in a long time. Where were you coming from?
Well, I was just, I think he was just curious about, you know, where I was going to school and what I was studying. And later on, we had a few conversations, he wanted to know what I, we had talked after one of the shows aired, and he wanted to know what I thought of it. And, he really was interested to hear a point of view because he wanted to see what he did things that he knew he would enjoy. And, he was curious if people were enjoying them as well.
Let's go to Bonnie, our next caller. Bonnie, our number, by the way, is 800-486-8655. Bonnie in Madison, hi.
Hello, Kathleen. Well, I have a little granddaughter who just loves the Muppets. But I remember, I think it was back in the 50s, I'd see the Muppets occasionally on Ed Sullivan. Mm. And they were a very avant-garde type of troupe then. And one skit I remember, there was a little frog girl that looked like Kermit. She was singing a little song and all of a sudden, this monster came up from below and advanced toward her while she looked on in horror and began to eat her.
Yep.
And when it was over, I just said, wow. And I think I found it on YouTube one time, but I don't remember what I put in to find it. But I wondered if the guests could talk about the very early years of the Muppets and if Jim Henson ever talked about that phase of the Muppets.
I know that piece that you're talking about very well. It was done to Rosemary Clooney's I've Grown Accustomed to Your Face. And in the very beginning of the Muppets, they would do these sort of self-contained performances on variety shows, and they would often do them lip-sync to existing songs. And on the Ed Sullivan Show, they did about 25 appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show. And in those days, they sort of had two stock endings for their Muppet sketches. Either one character ate the other character, or one of them would blow up. And if they could do one of those, Jim, remembered later on, they knew they had an ending if one of those things could happen.
How did they get 25 appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show?
Well, Ed really was tickled by it. I think one of the things is it's a very visual act. And it plays so well on television, and, Ed responded to that. There would be plenty of singers and, vocalists and actors that it would appear, but Ed liked, you could tell that he would have a lot of jugglers on and a lot of plate spinners and things that were visually interesting. He wanted to make the most of the television medium. So the Muppets, he knew that they would do something very visual and very unique each time.
Mm. He was, I haven't thought about Ed Sullivan in a long time when you think about it. He was such an unlikely host, wasn't he, of
couldn't
a
sing,
talk radio
couldn't
show?
Dance, couldn't
yeah, I know, just a strange presence.
Star on TV. And he gave the Muppets an early chance to do a one-hour special. He turned over the entire time slot one year to do a show called The Great Santa Claus Switch, which was one of the earliest one-hour specials that the Muppets did.
Oh, isn't that something?
He sat and he read the story to the kids on the staff, and then they sort of dissolved into this whole special, gave over the whole hour slot.
Hmm. In the new movie, they're trying to find a guest star for their resurrection on the stage, and Jack Black is somewhat reluctantly, very reluctantly, found to be the person. Let's talk about some of those guest appearances. And was there ever anybody who they wanted to have on that said no, or was it just something that was top on everybody's list and people were clamoring to do the guest shot?
Well, in the very beginning of the Muppet Show, it was a challenge to get the guests because the Muppet Show was shot in London. So it wasn't as easy as getting into your car and driving down the street to Television City from Beverly Hills, you actually had to fly to London, spend a week, and it was a bit of a trip. So in the first season of The Muppet Show, before it premiered, they called in a lot of favors, people they had worked with before, Florence Henderson, and people they knew from various things, or Harvey Korman and Vincent Price, I think, was in that first season, and people they had bumped into over the years, and they sort of, Jim and his team and his management sort of called in a lot of favors. And once the show premiered, people were beating down the door to get on the show. So then it became, they were suddenly in a position where they could select who they wanted, and there were a few, I think, that just sort of never happened for scheduling reasons. I think that, I believe Richard Burton was in discussions at one point.
Oh, that would have been a great show.
And I think they were trying to get Audrey Hepburn, and that didn't happen. But the list of people they did get was very impressive.
Yeah. Let's go to more phone calls. Siri is next in Eau Claire. Hi, Siri.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I just want to say, first of all, that I'm really excited. I'm a huge Muppets fanatic, and I have been since I was a little girl. I used to watch It's Not Easy Being Green and just cry. It's hard. But my question is, I've been such a fan for so long, and I was amazed at the movie. Like, I've seen it four times in theater, that it was able to keep the feel of the original show. And I was wondering if that was a challenge to keep the consistency, keep the same vaudeville aspect of the original Muppets.
You've seen the movie four times already, Siri?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I'm a huge fan.
I can tell, Craig.
Well, I think I can't speak exactly because I wasn't involved in the movie production, but I do know that they did an enormous amount of research, and a lot of these puppets that were seen in the movie, some of the more obscure ones hadn't existed for a long time and had to be rebuilt and remade. So they were doing intensive research because some of these characters, they don't have patterns and they have to be remade by look and hand. And I know that the people who were making the sets, they were getting things out of the Henson archives, the blueprints for the old Muppet Show set. So it really was, it appeared to be a great labor of love, and they did a lot of research to do this. And I think it helps that you still have Dave Goals, who performs Gonzo, has performed Gonzo since the very beginning, and he's still doing it. And Steve Whitmire, who plays Kermit now, started working with the Muppets on The Muppet Show in that era, on The Muppet Show and The Muppet Movie. And the people who have taken over the characters from some of the original performers are fans themselves. So they want these things to be accurate. And, you know, it's tough to capture that. But
yes.
One of the fun things about that movie is the Muppet Show theater set that was actually shot at Universal Studios on the same stage where they did The Phantom of the Opera back in the silent movie days.
Oh, my gosh, that's great.
The Muppet Show Theater was the opera house from Phantom of the Opera, and they just remodeled it and redressed it to look like the Muppet Theater.
Oh. It's hard to imagine anybody not being a fan of the show because the nature of what they do and the messages, you would almost have to be a credible part of the staff, wouldn't you?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
I mean,
to be
I haven't
good.
Met anybody that worked on Muppets that hasn't been a fan.
Yeah, or who's been a jerk, probably, too. Well,
a lot of really good people.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice. We're all in this together, right? Peoples is peoples, and we're good peoples.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to hear from Miss Piggy. That's what I think. Rhonda has put together some clips from some of the movies and the shows, and this is Miss Piggy singing Snacksercise from The Muppet Show.
Have to strain yourself to keep fit. I maintain my dynamite figure with a daily aerobic workout. Now, you go to your refrigerator and get your exercise equipment and get ready to
snacksercise. The world is yours to take snacksercise. And life's a piece of cake. Get in the mood. Get the right kind of food and snacksercise.
Cool that! There is no need for perspiration. Be sure to wear a comfortable snack suit. And remember, never eat right before eating. Now, to warm up, we will begin with some banana splits. Ready? Here we go! Lift the dish, grab the spoon, take a bite and chew, 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 swallow. Yes, tray good!
Quick Schumann is our guest. He worked with the Muppets for a long time and is still the vice president of the Jim Henson Legacy Project. He is a writer and a producer. That's a great, that makes you just want to have a donut, doesn't it?
Yeah, someone thought it would be a good idea for Miss Piggy to do an exercise album. And I don't know how effective it is as an exercise album, but as an entertainment album, it's very funny.
Right, it is. When did she become such a glamour puss? She didn't start out that way, did she?
No, I think that she sort of followed the same track as a lot of female stars. The bigger star they become, the more fashionable they get to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the more, you know, she sort of started out wearing a very simple purple dress. And Frank Oz, who, you know, deserves so much of the credit for developing Miss Piggy into who she is, the performer, Frank Oz sort of pointed out that before Miss Piggy came along and a lot of the Muppets that Jim created, puppets really didn't change clothes. They had a outfit, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Piggy has a collection of clothing you would not believe.
Oh, I'll bet.
But still, I remember when we would do morning talk shows, we would be figuring out what she was going to wear, and the people who dressed Miss Piggy would say, oh, she has nothing to wear. And I was like, you have hundreds of outfits. They're like, well, she can't wear those again. It's the same like working with any actor, any big female star. Miss Piggy has her own needs, and she has incredible costume people. In the beginning, a very wonderful woman named Calista Hendrickson was Miss Piggy's main costume designer, and she's worked with so many through the years. Polly Smith does a lot of her stuff, and Barbara Davis, who passed away a few years ago, Barbara was one of Miss Piggy's stylists and designers. And, you know, and her tastes have just become bigger and bigger. You know, now she wears Christian Louboutin shoes. I
mean. Oh, that's funny. Let's go to Jean in Green Bay. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I have a question for your guest, and I'm wondering if you know anything about the Muppets being used in advertising in the Chicago area, and this would probably be in the 1950s. My father-in-law owned an advertising company in Chicago called Grant, Wright, and Baker, and he always claimed to be one of the early discoverers of the Muppets, and someplace in my basement I have an invitation to a party that he sent out, probably to his clients and his close friends, and it was introducing Jim Henson and the Muppets.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, it does sound very accurate. They did do a lot of advertising in those days. They worked with a bunch of agencies. I know Campbell Mithun is one of the agencies, and I believe the one that you talk about does sound familiar. But they did a lot of products, both locally and nationally. So it certainly sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that old family story is possibly correct.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, we met somebody in Chicago. I did a screening at the Siskel Center a couple of years ago, and a woman brought her mother, who was a copywriter, who had worked on some films, the industrial films the Muppets did for a fabric treatment thing called PacKnit RX.
Okay, well, that's interesting, and I'll have to dig around in my boxes down there and find that invitation again. I have come across it. So.
Mm. Thank you, Jean. Thanks for the call. You mentioned Ed Sullivan and how important he was in furthering the career of the Muppets. Who were others? Were they noticed immediately as, oh, my gosh, this is a wonder, let's make all of them stars, or did they have to fight their way up the ladder?
Well, it was a gradual climb, but there were a lot of people who took notice. When Jim started, he was a college student, a high school student going into college, and over all of those years, there were people at the various places where Jim was working who noticed something special. So the people that put him on the air, you know, people at WRC-TV who noticed this kid and gave him his own five-minute show. And then on and on, the people like, you know, Bernie Brillstein was Jim's manager for many years. And Bernie was instrumental in booking Jim on a lot of those variety shows, like the Ed Sullivan Show through the 1960s. So Bernie had a big hand in it. People like Jimmy Dean, who his show ran for 3 years, and that was the first time the Muppets appeared on network television on a regular basis. And then John Stone, who was one of the early creators of Sesame Street, Joan Ganz Cooney, who came up with the idea for Sesame Street, wanted to have puppets, and John Stone knew of Jim and worked with him and urged Joan to use Jim and the Muppets on Sesame Street. So that was, you know, there were a lot of people who took notice of what Jim was doing and helped them get to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to more phone calls. Our number, by the way, is 800-486-8655. We're talking about the Muppets and our interest in them. Not that it's ever waned, but it's been renewed because of the new film, The Muppets, which has just been released and is getting pretty good reviews. Our next caller is Norm from Green Lake. Hi, Norm.
Hey, how you doing today?
All right, Norm. How are you?
Great conversation on a gloomy day, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, a couple things. First of all, your previous caller mentioned some of the advertising in the Chicago area. Ralph the Dog did Crammel Milk ads in the Chicago area. I can remember those when I was a kid. But my question is, was Jim Henson influenced at all by some of the earlier puppeteers like Edgar Bergman, Kukla, Fran and Ollie, Sherry Lewis, those sorts of people?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I know that he was a great fan and later on friend of Edgar Bergen. He loved Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, and later on when Jim had the Muppet Show, he invited Edgar and Charlie to be a guest, and they did the Muppet Show and the Muppet movie, and they passed away before the Muppet movie came out, and the movie was actually dedicated to them.
Actually, I find it interesting you mentioned that they passed away.
Yeah.
Right.
And Jim delivered a eulogy at Edgar Bergen's funeral.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, is there a copy of that around somewhere?
You know, I don't know if there is. I know it was quite some time ago.
Yeah, I'd like to read that.
He certainly was good friends with Bert Hillstrom as well, because he knew Bill Baird, was a fan of Bill Baird, and I think he had definitely worked with Sherry Lewis from time to time and knew her. I think that a lot of the influences that these people had were more because they created characters and that they didn't just do puppets just to do puppets, that they wanted to create these real, believable characters.
Right. It wouldn't be what it is unless they were real, believable characters.
Absolutely.
We're going to welcome more phone calls. We have a number of clips from various shows, and to take us into the next phase of conversation, a few clips of Statler and Waldorf. They're a pair of Muppet characters, too, the two, and they're in the new movie, too. Ornery, disagreeable old man who first appeared in the television series, The Muppet Show, heckling the cast from their balcony seats.
What's wrong with you?
It's either this show or indigestion. I hope it's indigestion.
Why?
It'll get better in a little while.
What was that?
It's called the medium sketch.
The medium sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't rare, and it certainly wasn't well done.
Hey, what are you doing?
I dropped my gum. Hey, lady, would you toss my gum up? You could have taken it out of the wig first.
Talent. An opera singer who tap dances and sings cowboy songs. I wonder if there's anything she isn't good at.
Yes? Choosing what show to be on.
This here on the Muppet Show is the very first time you sang this?
First time. That's why it's very special to me.
You bet it is, and to us too. Okay, I tell you what, we're gonna do it up really perfect. Hey, pigs, come on in. It's your pig chorus. Okay, and I'll take care of everything else. Don't worry, this is going to be great.
Are you sure?
Trust me.
Work all night, turn a drink of rum.
Here I come and me wanna go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me wanna go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me wanna go home.
Come,
excuse me, I'm sorry, excuse me. What is a tallyman?
What is what?
A tallyman, you say?
I always wondered that too. Harry Belafonte with the Muppets. Oh, what a talent that guy was as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and still is. Yeah,
absolutely.
He's a remarkable man. Greg in Waukesha is next. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Kathleen, and I love you and your guests. This is a great conversation. I have to say that I am both a manly Muppet and a Muppet of a man. so I just wanted to share that. Went and saw the movie with my friend Sarah, who's pretty Muppet-obsessed as well. I just wanted to ask, there were a number of cameos in the Muppet movie. Tim Allen, Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
A number of those. And I was just wondering what those specific people, you know, maybe focus on Tim and Whoopi, but some of the other cameos, too, what they had to do with the Muppets, how they had, you know, been influenced or, you know, affected by the Muppets, I guess.
Well, I think that some of them, you know, some of them hadn't worked with the Muppets at all, but some of them had. Whoopi had done an episode of Muppets Tonight, which was a follow-up to the Muppet Show from the 90s, and, you know, some of the people, Neil Patrick Harris is a huge Muppet fan. I've talked to him on several occasions, and he just loves the Muppets. And some people just sort of, you know, were new to the Muppets. And there were several, I have heard that there are several cameos that got cut out of the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
I don't know exactly who, but there, I wouldn't be surprised to see some more cameos when it comes out on DVD.
Huh.
And the bonus features.
Well, some of the cameos, the people who were so young, they couldn't have remembered the Muppets unless they saw reruns or special DVDs, things like that.
Right, right. Yeah. But I think that, you know, whenever they do a Muppet movie, they try to put in a bunch of celebrity cameos. I think it helps, you know, it amuses the audience. It makes, it puts the characters further in our real world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you must have been in heaven with your friends seeing this movie, huh, Greg?
Well, yeah, and it was a fun movie to watch. I don't go to many movies because I'm totally blind.
Oh.
And so I don't go to you know, many things. And so, of course, a disadvantage of being blind is I couldn't see the, you know, great puppetry, you know, of the Muppets, which my friend Sarah has, you know, told me about. My friend Sarah studied Jim Henson for a long time. I actually did a research paper, you know, on him, but yeah, it was a great movie, and the one thing I didn't understand the whole Toy Story thing at the beginning, you know, the whole Toy Story.
I thought I was in the wrong theater. I really got up and thought, oh man, I walked into the wrong place.
No, they just added a, you know, like in the old days when they used to have short subjects
right.
before the movies, they thought that would be a nice idea. And there's an interesting story that when Jane Henson told me when the Muppets first started in the mid-50s, there was a radio personality that they knew at the same station. I believe his name was Eddie Walker. And he was blind, but he knew the station record library so well that he would help them pick out the music for the Muppet sketches.
Hmm.
And you know, he found a lot of the things that he thought that they could really have fun with.
Mm-hmm. Greg, thank you so much for calling. I like your voice. Greg could be a voice person, right? It's interesting to think of going to a Muppets movie and hearing it, that's what you focus on. And it's, you've got to have the right voice for Kermit, because his voice is everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your call. Imel from Rhinelander. Hi.
Yes.
I have a quite a cute story about Miss Piggy. I was going with my wife, Judy, at the time. She gets phone call after phone call after phone call. You got to turn this pig on. She's on TV. She's just like you. And my wife was hurt by it. But then after tuning in, she found out she was a classy lady, and she loved it. And I was Kermit the Frog at weddings, at Halloween. We won prizes. It was hilarious. We just loved her. And she had a little bit of a nose up, so she didn't look like a pig. But you know what I mean? She had that. And then she had the blonde hair, and she'd flip her hair with her hands, and she'd go karate with the kids. And she was just a riot. She was a fun lady. And so she loved her. And, of course, I fell in love with her because I was in love with Judy, you know?
Oh. So
it was wonderful. It's in our hearts to this day. I lost my wife about 3 years ago, so I'm glad I got the call through. It was worth a lot.
Oh, thanks, Emil, so much for your call.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. What a great story, huh, Greg?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people see themselves in the characters, and it's really, you know, all of the Muppet characters, they all come from a place of optimism and positivity. And I think it's really nice when people identify with them.
Did you see yourself in a character?
You know, I always wanted to be Kermit, I think, but I ended up, I think, feeling more like Fozzie.
Mm.
You know, wanting to try hard to be accepted and to be funny and to have people laugh at the jokes. And, you know, every once in a while I feel a little bit like Miss Piggy. But, you know, when you write for them, you have to try and find each one of them inside of yourself. So if I'm writing Miss Piggy, I'll end up talking like her.
You want to do that for us?
Oh, no.
Okay.
It's best done privately.
Okay. Let's go to Paul from La Crosse. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hi.
I used to, a friend of mine and I, back in the days that the Muppets were really popular, my friend and I would go to an ice cream parlor restaurant, sit in a booth. We had bought a whole bunch of puppets of the Muppets. We'd sit in this booth of an ice cream parlor when there was some children next door, and we'd reach up over the top and do the voices.
Aww.
And the kids just loved it. And we'd go do that, you know, like every other week or so, and it was such fun to do that for them.
Well, Paul, go do it today.
Yeah, I guess we could.
Why not?
Yeah. You know, my friend, I told him how to do the Kermit voice, and he got even better at it than I did. And he used to, Nick, go by the name of Kermit. In fact, he'd sign his checks Kermit, and he has probably the world's greatest Kermit collection. And, I'm sure he would do it if I asked him.
Yeah, I think you should do that. That would be great fun. And then send us a picture. We'll put it on our Facebook page. No, seriously, we will. Will you do that?
Sure.
That'd be great.
Okay.
That'd be great. Thanks, Paul. What a great thing to do, Craig, isn't it?
Oh, it's terrific. You know, you talk to a lot of people, and they all have these stories about, you know, what the Muppets meant to them. And I have a friend I went to college with. Named Susan Smentek. Susan, if you're listening, she's in Chicago.
Huh.
And Susan, she and her sister loved Miss Piggy when they were little, and they bugged their mother to get a Miss Piggy doll, and her mother was looking all over Chicago, and they were just coming out with Miss Piggy dolls and searched all over Chicago just to get her a Miss Piggy. And when our touring exhibit came to Chicago, she and her sister waited for hours just so they could see Miss Piggy.
Oh. Yeah, there's, what is it? Tell us in 30 seconds, what is it, what is the essence of all of it that brings those kinds of memories? Because it's more than just a television show for Paul and his friend to do that, to be motivated to go to this ice cream place and do a puppet show.
Yeah, I think it reminds people of a less complicated time in their lives.
Mm.
And I think, you know, that's for people who appreciate the Muppets from back then. And now it just, it makes people think of, you know, a simpler time, because the Muppets are really, you know, they're simple characters that get to the core of heart and emotion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being with us. Craig Sheeman, our guest, freelance writer-producer, who is now the vice president of the Jim Henson Legacy Project and worked with the Muppets for a long time. If you're looking for a holiday film, the Muppet movie is really a lovely film. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this lovely hour and Chrissy Pease for doing on-air production.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers.